Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp on YAT Radio. It's Breaking Chains.
Good evening, everyone. On last week, I had the privilege of talking to you about the start of mankind, the origin of mankind. And what we did, we looked at the beginning of mankind back to Australopithecus. And we were talking about fossil found, cells of all humans have theoretical common ancestors. This woman known as Mitochondria Eve lived between 100 and 200,000 years ago in South Africa. She was not the first human, but every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring failing to pass on the mitochondrial DNA. As a result, now this is your scholars who are talking about this. They are telling you, and they're not black, they're white scholars, they're saying that the DNA result comes to all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to her, within her DNA, and that of her peers exist. All the genetic variations, meaning the Asians and others that when they left out of Africa, they have a genetic marker that traced back to Africa. So when oftentimes the people don't look like a mitochondria DNA, it would go back to Africa. See, in contemporary humans today, since this lady, which they call Eve time, different populations of humans have drifted apart genetically, forming distinct ethnic groups that we see today. And it's all come from this lady called Eve. Now, even later on, they found a man, a skeleton of a man, that came about maybe, they say about this man who died about 315 years before the birth of Christ. They found the remains. That's what this man would look like. But the DNA that he got, that they was able to take from him, matched the female, his ancestral came from the mitochondria Eve, and that he was a fisherman off the coast of southern Africa, and he was the closest genetic match to Eve. And if he's the closest genetic match to Eve, Africans are the closest genetic match to the beginning. Now, they found his bones, where they were able to get DNA from. It's called St. Helena Bay in South Africa by archaeologist named Andrew Smith of the University of Cape Town. This man was that young. He was about 50, and he was the first ancestor, the cradle of human, to have the DNA that they were able to do a sequence of his DNA and find out that people, no matter if you're in Europe or Asia anyway, we all have that DNA. Different hypotheses have and theories have surfaced about why we look different. Some say we left a warm, hot climate and went up in the northern parts of Europe and other parts, and the melanin changed and other things like that. But we know that that was a dispersion, and as they stated earlier, that it came in a different than the population of the human, that they drifted apart genetically and formed distinct ethnic groups as they changed their location where they live. The fact that we all came from Southern Sahara Africa, Southern Sub-Saharan Africa. Now, the DNA, and even with Lucy, they wanted to say Lucy being 3.18 million years ago, that Lucy herself, how she would look, some say it was more closer to an ape. But nevertheless, Lucy shows that there were humankind over a million years ago. And as this being a Christian radio show, I want to just make this statement in the fact that they people try to use 1,000 years and things like that. But the Bible that I study, through the different degrees that I have, said in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, as I was studying, to obtain my master's degree, I did a study on the African Covenants in the Bible. And the Bible talks about where, how the Garden of Eden lay, where Adam and Eve was located at in the garden. I often pondered why all the angels were white and why there were no blacks I ever saw growing up. White angels, everyone on the television, as we watched television and through the media, everyone was white. But yet, no one came out of that climate that was ever white. And as I began to study, because I wanted to know about the suffering of the people of African Americans and the plight of African Americans. So in my study, I began to research the World Mark of Nations and other books. I began to do my research on the Bible and find out exactly who's who. I wanted to find out whether or not that we were a curse. And contrary to the belief of some, that wasn't the truth, that we were a curse. Now, I would beg to tell you that the garden was in Africa and not in located over in the Middle East in Iraq. Now, this is what I'm going to say. In the second chapter of Genesis, starting at that 8 to the 15 verse, it tells us where the Garden of Eden is located. And through careful research, I found that both the Pishon and the Gihon River are both rivers located in Africa. Now, let me explain the translation of the above scriptures. You know that Ethiopia is in the African continent. That's Genesis 10, 6 through 7. And he is the son of Ham. Now, and Cush and Mitherim and Put and Canaan were the sons of Ham. Now, the son of Cush is Sheba, Havilah, Sabatha, Rahama, Satisha, and the son of Rahama is Sabichacha, and the son of Rahama, Sheba, and Dedan. The region is now called, what they say it encompassed, is called Djibouti or either Somalia or Somaliland. Now, the name of the second river is the Gihon. The Gihon River is the Nile River, the same that encompassed the land of Ethiopia. The map of Africa, the African continent, possible for the Pishon or the Gihon to flow from Africa to the continent of Iraq. The third,
excuse me, Pastor.
And the third river they say is the Hidikia River. And it went forth, and the fourth river was called the Euphrates. Now, I want you to understand this, that the U.S. News and many other magazines, Africa is recognized and identified as the birthplace of mankind. Now, it was the Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, 11th century, a biblical commentator. Flavius Josephus, who was an 11th century biblical commentator, and Rashid both agreed that the Gihon River, which departs from Eden, was the Nile River. Flavius Josephus was one of the great historians. You had Philo and Josephus that many study dealing with the history. And that dealing with the directions or the parts of the Garden of Eden. The Jewish Rashid still being used by scholars even today in studying the Bible. We should understand that the nature of the people who translated the Bible, even King James and other, these were those who had slaves. And we should understand that many European scholars who translated the Bible were prejudiced against Africa. They've even taken Egypt off the map of Africa as though if it's not a part of Africa, even though in the pyramids, the artifacts and pictures show that they were Africans. You know, for this reason, many untrue statements have been made, such as the black race is a curse because of Cain. Today, many of us, we believe that we should be servants and slaves. They believe that we as a race are inferior to the white race. King James himself were the racist. Look, the injustice and prejudice of the many Bible translators, those who translated the Bible and seek the truth. Many scientists and world researchers are aware of the overwhelming evidence that Africa is the birthplace of man, and the oldest bones, weapons, tools, utensils, and civilization are found in Africa, not Asia or Europe. Even Isaiah mentioned more than one time one river between Egypt and Ethiopia, although not mentioned by name. The Pishon is possibly mentioned as the upper branch of the Nile. Perion and Avik Yaha, MacWilliam Bible Atlas, identified the Pishon as the upper branch of the Nile. It's important that we understand that if you do your study and you'll find out they have two branches of the Nile. The Nile do part out in the two. You have the Blue Nile and the White Nile. The Nile River, you know, and the Roman historian Pliny spoke of Havilah in East Africa. Hastings Dictionary of the Bible, the Cushite Havilah journey from Africa to Arabia. After searching the map of Africa, I found that the northern coast of Africa, is bordered to the north by the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea, to the east, Aden and the Indian Ocean. The Pishon that encompassed the whole land of Havilah, which is Somaliland or Somalia, could not have been located in Iraq. Neither could the Gihon, which is the Nile, which the Bible says encompassed the whole land of Ethiopia. To the east of Ethiopia is Somalia, and to the north is the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. To the east, Somalia is the Indian Ocean. Through the study of the World Atlas, I found that the Garden of Eden would have been located somewhere in the area of Ethiopia or Somalia. The word encompass in your Bible is used both with the Pishon and the Gihon. Each one encompasses Havilah, encompassed, which is modern-day Somalia, and the other encompassed Ethiopia. The Gihon is now called the Nile. Webster Dictionary defines the word encompass as enclosing a line or limit of an area or perimeter, passing around. To view this retrospectively, the Gihon, which encompasses Ethiopia, is the present-day Nile. That's the Pishon. That's okay. The Pishon, which encompasses the country of Havilah, the present-day Somalia, are both in northern eastern Africa. And now we must consider the remaining river, the Hidekia and the Euphrates. Now let us pay close attention to this. Before serious, with serious examination, the role of these two rivers play a key part. Let's look again at the first two. Genesis 2 and 10 tells us that a river went out to water the garden. From hence it parted and became four heads. We can establish two points. One river out to water a garden. Point two, one river parted and became four rivers. The first is the Pishon, that which encompassed the land of Havilah, which we have established the fact that the Havilah during this period covered the land that now include northeast Egypt, northeast Sudan, and Djibouti during that period of time, though I believe it extended southward through the position of the northern Ethiopia and northeast Sudan. This would mean that the Pishon River flowed in the easterly direction toward the Red Sea or Arabia. The name of the second river is the Gihon, and this encompassed the land of Ethiopia. We have established this is the Nile, with the northern flow through present-day Egypt. I believe during this period, Ethiopia encompassed part of the Sudan and present-day Egypt. Now listen to this. This land was called Cush and later Metherim, which Cush is Ethiopia and Metherim is Egypt. Cush is the and Metherim the brothers who settled present-day Egypt, which bears the name which means black or burnt face. That's Cush. Now, they call the people of Egypt Kim or Kemites, and that means black. Some scholars have tried to, and European scholars have tried to mean it, the black land, the dirt is black. No, it meant that the people that the Kemites were the people of that country were black. Now, let's look at the last river, which is the Hiddekel, which has been identified as present-day Tigris River. Those who make this assumption, I believe, are in error. Let's look at Genesis 2 and 14, which said, and the name of the third river is the Hiddekel. Now, they say the Tigris River is the Hiddekel. That is which goes toward the east of Assyria. This tells me that the river flowed in the easterly direction. The Tigris River, which is east of Assyria, flows parallel to the Euphrates River before meeting the Euphrates River. This flowed toward the south and the north. They flowed northward. Thus, it cannot be the Hiddekel, only unless the river changed its flow. I believe this river, which ran toward the east of the Assyria, ran toward and merged with the Euphrates. In the later part of Genesis, Moses tells us only the fourth river is the Euphrates. As I look at the picture, I can see one river parting and becoming four. One river forming a southern border of the garden and flowing eastward. This river is the Pishon River. This river could be lost, but I believe a portion still exists today through its original flow, changing and a cutoff. It is called the Atabana, which connects with the Nile in northeastern Sudan and flows eastward toward the Red Sea. I've told you through research, I did a lot of different researches when I was doing my master's, and this was my thesis was on this. The second river, the Gihon, was established. It is present-day Nile. Its northerly flow forms the western boundary of the garden. The third is the Hiddekel, flows toward the east of Assyria. I believe the river was lost with the great flood. Its easterly flow carries it from its source, the Nile, toward the eastern of Assyria, to the fourth river, the Euphrates. The Hiddekel eastward flow formed the northern boundary of the garden. The Euphrates, which flows easterly now, probably had more southerly flow before the flood and formed the easterly boundary. It's important to understand all this occurred before the flood came, and the land masses may have been together. But the description that have been given, Somalia and Havilah, this is in Africa, encompassed the land of Somalia, which we know of Cush. Thus, the garden was circled by one river, which broke into four different heads. Now, an interesting point, at the beginning of the garden being present-day northeast Sudan, this is where what is known as the White Nile becomes the Nile. It also feeds into the Atabana at that point. That's your third river. I believe the Nile intersect and fed the Hiddekel, which flowed and emptied into the Euphrates. Now, the Euphrates, the southern flow, took it down to meet the Pishon. Though many may disagree with me, scientists and archaeologists agree on these points. One point that they agree, that the land mass that now form Africa and the Middle East were always connected. I've also did some further study in that scene where in the Red Sea, that they have noticed that it was joined together at one time because of the way the bottom is shaped through like an earthquake or flood or something. They called it the separate. There was a great flood and the land mass was lost, and the present day Mediterranean Sea and Red Sea and the Persian Gulf probably were formed. Now, it talks about rivers were completely lost on their course, may have been altered. To go even further, we know that there was no rain falling during this period of time, during the second chapter of the book of Genesis. No rain had ever fell during that time. We are told that the garden was watered by a mist each morning. Look at this theory. Then we can establish that the garden was encompassed, encircled, by likely that the streams flowed from the river into the garden, which we know today is irrigation to keep the soil moist. This combined with the warm days and cool nights produce a morning dew we call dew today, which when combined with the moist soil kept the garden beautiful. The Bible tells us that the days were extremely warm because in Genesis 3 and 8 tells us that they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, probably evening. From this we see warm air absorbing moisture from the rivers, the stream, the soil each day and redeposing it. It's keeping the garden warm and tropical. We know that dark-skinned people have always been found in warm or tropical areas. I finalize this part of this thesis with the location of the garden. It is easy to establish that the Garden of Eden was on the continent of Africa. This is established by the location of the garden. We look at the garden for too long as some small remote area. But for every animal to live in the garden, it had to be very, very large. Moses tells us specifically where the garden was. He tells us about the four rivers. He also tells us the land they circle, period. Thus, this land is the northeastern Africa and a portion of the Middle East. Portions of Egypt, the Sudan, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia, all of present-day Israel, Jordan, Syria, and a portion of Iraq. This would be in line with the belief that many renowned theologians who believe this sector territory is the same described in Revelation. We must keep in mind is now the Mediterranean Sea. Revelation 21 and 1 tells us, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth time, and the first earth will pass away, and there was no more sea. Considering all these points, I believe my theory holds up on the location of the Garden of Eden. I would like to say if we would just take time to do the study and not believing what others have told us. For so many years, we have been lied to and told that we didn't play any part of that the garden was in a certain other area. but all the time the garden have always flowed from there. It was the Greek. It was the Greek, and even in the Latin, and the Greeks always believed that Ethiopia, called the land of the gods, where there was gold and beldonium and oxygen, that was located there. It's, I've been told for so many years, and we have seen on different sections on television that everyone have been Caucasian out of that area. And I just gave you from millions of years ago that life originated in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, the plains. I told you about Lucy. I told you about Eve and that the male, this male that they found in South Africa, St. Helena Bay, South Africa, that 315 B.C. carries the genotype, the DNA of Eve, who's supposed to be the mother, which everyone carries. But he was African. I've also discussed that out of that, they say, well, about the mutation. I've also discussed on the first night that you could take a black child and a young black female and come up with a white child, come up with what you call an albino. No melanin and blue eyes, but you can never find that in the DNA of white on white making a black child. And the reason is it has to come where it all started from. Though I want to say this, I just want to put this in, Doberman pinches. I had a red Doberman. I had a black and tan. But out of that group, I had a blue, I had fawn, I had black and tan and red. And the reason I'm saying that is it reached back into our ancestry years back. It reached way back. And then for hundreds of years, you could have one of your children could take a genotype of your ancestors and look like the great-great-grandfather, because it's all in our DNA. It says all in our genotype. As other portions that comes up with this, and that's the reason I wanted to tell you. And the other reason I wanted to talk to you tonight and doing this history, because I want us to understand that we have a far history much greater than America, than a slave, a beat-down slave. We come from a people that while Europe was still in caves, we were living in houses and building thatch huts, and we were building cooking food, and we had tools that we were building. We were eating fish, and we were planting, and we weren't just farmers, but we were eating different things that we had that others didn't have at that time. We were far advanced in Europe, and I made a statement that oftentimes that we don't pay attention because we go by what we see. There's a back of being African, never telling about the Moors people, never talking about the pyramids, which was some of them were almost 3,000 years before Christ was born, before Europeans ever set foot in Africa. There were pyramids. And if you look at the inside, the pictures of them show you that they were brown and black people. It's so ridiculous today that I look at the History Channel sometime, and I know not to believe what it says. It says that people came from outer space, pyramids. Why? Why? Simply because how could these Africans, Imhotep was the first person to build a step pyramid, but how could these Africans build a 47-plus-story building with no crane, no lift. How could they cut stone perfectly square? How were they able to do it? And even today, they can't figure it out. But I submit to you today that there are more pyramids around the Sudan and other places than there are in Egypt. Find out. But that's not told to you because Africa is a black country, a country that nothing was done, and the people are ignorant, and the people are beneath everyone else. That's so far from the truth. Metal origin and all kind of things originated there. First College, Timbuktu, Africa. Why, when they first came over, did they destroy the records in Egypt? Why were so many of the records destroyed? You take away a person's history. And that's what they've done. But getting back to the earlier parts of the Bible, getting back to the time before the floods, I'm going to just give some names to you, and I want you to pay close attention. Right now, I'm going to allude to after the diluvian period, after the flood. After the flood in Genesis 10, it's going to give you the name of the sons after Noah came out of the ark. He had sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It's been said that Ham is the father of the Africans and that Shem is the brown man, or the black and brown man is Shem, and the Caucasian race would be Japheth. But now I want you to pay close attention to a specific name because I want you to understand this today. And I want you to Google this and find out about the ethnic groups that are in Jerusalem today. And don't take what I say. I want you to research whatever I say. It says, now the generations of Noah was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were born after the flood. It say, now Japheth had a son. Now this is supposed to be the Caucasian race. Had a son named Gomer, Magog, and Madea, and Javan, and Tubala, and Meshach, and Tiras. Now listen at this name here, and please underline this. And this is in 3, the Genesis, the 10th chapter, and the 3rd verse. It say Gomer, they say the sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz. Underline that word Ashkenaz. Because when I told you, remember the ethnic groups that are in the Holy Land now, they're called Ashkenaz Jews. Ashkenaz. Ashkenaz came off of Japheth. That's Caucasian. They can never be an Israelite or a Hebrew. You have to come from Japheth. They Ashkenaz. We Ashkenaz Jews. You're not. The Bible warns us, say there are people that say that they're Jews and Jews or Israelites and are not. You have to come from Shem. You have to come from Shem. The next group that's in the Holy Land today is called Khazar. That means they're from north of Turkey. They are not originally. And I think a surf of them there from around Spain. Those are the 3 main ethnic groups that are in the Holy Land today. If you want to trace it back biblical, but you have to do the study. There was no whites that was down that way. It was no more than Shem and Ham was located in the Holy Land. Matter of fact, Ham possessed the Holy Land. Canaan, the land of Canaan, come from Abraham's son Caleb. Let me finish reading something to you. And it says, now, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided the land, either one or by tongue. Now, I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to say. Now, they call these people Gentiles. They're calling just the one I call Ashkenaz Gentile. They say, by there were the isles of the Gentile divided their land, every one other in his tongue after their family and in their nation. This is called your Caucasian or your white race. They were different, their different language, and it said, that tells you that right there in the fifth chapter of the 10th verse. And then they say the sons of Ham and the birth of Nimrod. Now listen at this, say the sons of Ham were Cush. You remember I told you they said that the Garden of Eden encompassed the land of Cush or Havilah. Now watch this. Cush, Metherum. Now this who Ham had. Cush, Metherum, and now see this is what I'm saying now. And Put and Canaan, the son of Cush was Sheba, the queen of Sheba, Havilah, that's Ethiopia, Sabata, Rama, Sabaticha, and the son of Rama was Sheba and Dedan. The Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be mighty one on the mighty one on the earth. And I'm going to tell you something. Where Nimrod was building the Tower of Babel, that's where Abraham come from. It was called the Land of Nimrod. What color was he? Do your research on your Bible. The Cush begot Nimrod and became a mighty one on the earth. And that's the 8th verse of the 10th chapter. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was from Babel, which is Babylon, Iraq, Akkad, Canaan, in the land of Shinar. That's the place towards where Abraham came from. Out of the land went forth Asher and built Nineveh and the city of Rehoboth and Calah. Rhythm between Nineveh and Calah, same as the great city. And Metherum begot Ludum. Now Metherum is Egypt. And now these are Ham children. This is Egypt now. The Bible is telling you this. But when you see the pictures of them, everybody's white. Anamim, and Lahabim, and Naphtuhim, and Pathrushim, and Casaluim, out of whom came the Philistine, and the Caphtorim, the Canaanites begot Sodom, his firstborn Heth, the Jebusites. Now, where you see the word in the 16th verse, Jebusite, that's where Jerusalem got its name from, Jebus. That's Jerusalem. And Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Arkavites, the Semites, the Arkvadites, the Zerarites, the Hamathites, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread it abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sodom to the most coming to Gershur, unto Gaza, that does go unto Sodom and Gomorrah and Adamah and Zim and Zudama, even unto Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongue, in their country, and in their nation. It tells you that Ham had kids that was with that Nimrod and others. They were all in the Middle East where Abraham came from. Now the children of Israel have to come from. If you're going to say that you're a Hebrew, you have to come from the land of Nimrod. You have to come from that area around where Shem came from. Say, unto Shem also, the father of the children were Eber, the brother. And then it talks about his brother was Japheth. Even to him a child was born. And then they say the children of Shem were Elam. You're talking about he was the father of the children of Eber. And the brother of Japheth, he was the eldest. To him were children born. Now he's the brother. He's the elder. Children was Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphax, Lud, and Aram. The children of Aram were Uz, Hul, Jether, Mash, Arphax begot Shelah, and Shelah begot Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name were Peleg, and his days was the earth divided, and his brother name was Joktan. Joktan begot Amadad and Shelah and Hazar, Mavoth, and Jerah, and Hadaram, and Uzzel, and Dekla, and Obal, and Baal-Meel, and Sheba. The Ophel, the Havilah, and Jobed, all these were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling was from Mesha, as they go to Sephar on the mount at the east. These are the sons of Shem and their family, after their tongue and their land. And if you have a map, it usually will show you that where they're separated, and it will show you in the back that the children of Japheth went up into Europe, the children of Ham and Shem stayed in the Holy Land and in the top around Egypt. There's so much right in this Bible. If you take the name, you'll find out that now. And I'm going to show you a part right here. The children of Japheth left out the Bible, which is supposed to be the Caucasian race. In the 10th chapter, not to come back until about 500 years before Christ. Over 1,000-something years absent out the entire Bible. Or you heard about Alexander the Great, the Conqueror, before Christ, maybe 300-400 years before Christ. By that time, the Greeks or the Romans was ruling in the Holy Land. But before that time, the marriages that went on, and I think I'm going to save that for another time, and go even further to show you that who married who. I'm going to expose these things to you and show you that the children, by genealogies, that the children of Shem and the children of Ham, grandchildren, they married each other. I'm going to show you, Prince, what color was the Hebrew Israelites. I'm going to prove that which was been shown today, as I showed you the main population of the people in the Holy Land are called Ashkenaz, and if you are Ashkenaz, that means you're from around Lithuania, Caucasia, or Russia. You are not from the Holy Land. You are Caucasian. You are not from the Holy Land. But that's who are in there today. I'm going to give you facts to look up from other nations telling you that they are not really Israelites. They are not Jews per se, and tell you who the real Judas are, because they are not in the Holy Land today. And I'm going to even give you different places where you could pull it up on YouTube and other places that their own rabbis admit that they are not really
Israelites. Not just the Jew, the covenant was made with Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And when you're studying, in fact, what I wanted to do was to give you a background that mankind himself originated in Africa. Some say sub-Saharan. Some have found the different older artifacts right around southern Ethiopia and Sudan. But nevertheless, we have played a pivotal role in this world, and we have, and we are people who God have chosen. We wonder why we go through so much, because if people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, we don't know who we really are. That have been taken from us, our identity, our true identity have been taken from us, never to be given to us again. Once a person can take away that from you, they almost have you conquered. They almost have you beat. And that's what have happened to the African race today. Not African, because majority of the ones in America today are Hebrew Israelites. If you may not know it, and I'm going to prove that also to you by not what some blacks came up with, but I'm going to come and let you, after I finish talking with you, I'm going to give you where to look and where to find out and let you find it says it themselves. This are Caucasian rabbis, supposed to be Jewish Caucasian rabbis. They come out and admit that blacks, the ones that came to America, are the true Israelites. And we'll say it and say, well, this may be a game breaker, but he has to tell the truth. It's been hid from us too long who we are. The things that matter in life so much is that have been taken from us. It have been taken from us, and we don't know who we are. The builder of the pyramids, the founder of many countries, explorers of the world. We was told that blacks didn't travel, black were fishermen. And the blacks, and if you were African or if you were Israelite or whoever you were, if you lived on the coast, you were a fisherman. And I was talking earlier about the young man. I call him a young man, but he died in 315 BC in southern Africa, who I told you was the closest relative yet known to humanity, to the common female ancestry, mitochondrial Eve, who was supposed to be the mother, who everybody have her DNA. But this particular black African man that was over 2,300 and something years ago, that they found and was able to get his DNA, he was a genetic match to the supposed mother of everybody named Eve. He's the closest, and he's an African, to Eve, that they found his remains in St. Helena Bay in South Africa. And if you want to look it up, the archaeologist's name is Andrew Smith, and he studied out of the University of Cape Town. And you could also find out this is sub-Saharan Africa, cradle of all humanity, and to have this DNA sequence that will follow, and you could find it all over the world, that people are taking DNA, and I know that some people don't like to look at it and find that here it is, you have DNA, and that goes back to black folk, African. DNA originated in Africa. You know, I took a DNA test, and it went, and what they did was they took my DNA in a National Geographic, not DNA.com, but National Geographic did a DNA thing on me, And they found I had, and I, it was strange that they found out I had DNA from around Ethiopia. I had DNA matches in South Africa. But the majority of it, 80-some percent, was around Nigeria and Yoruba and Benin and Cameroon, up in that area. But then 11% was Great Britain. And I know that came about during slavery. But the thing about it was, the further it went back so many hundreds of thousands of years, go all the way back to right around Ethiopia, and that means Lucy. South Africa, it means it's this man that was over 3,000-something years ago, some kind of way, that Lady Eve, I have some kind of match with her. Now, whites would have it. It just won't be as strong as African Americans or African. That's what we have to look at today. And I would submit to us. Now, I want everybody to get out and vote. But I want to submit to you today, begin to read. Learn about yourself. Let me tell you something. There's so much that have been hidden from blacks, from Africa. Well, Africans know a lot about Africa because they study their own history. But we are people in America, African Americans, or whoever we want to call ourselves today. We are lost people that study not the history of someone else, but the lives of someone else, because we know America wasn't discovered by Columbus. We know that there were indigenous people already here. We know by different, the different tiki like his, they found that they even had Africans in Mexico and parts of South America and stuff, that Africans had voiced over here. Even from artifacts, bones, they found out that we were here. We was here. Aboriginal people were in South America. We've been here for thousands of years. But then they came and don't tell the truth that they came and sell a country. No, tell the truth. You came and took a country. Kill the people, did a genocide savagely. And did a genocide. Tell the truth. Took their land. Good-hearted people teaching you how to plant crops, trying to show you how to live. Tell the truth about the history of the country. But then they took away us. They took our language away from us. Showed us how to build a house. We knew how to build it because we was already builders. We just couldn't understand the language. Or the language barrier, and demean us as men by taking our wives and selling our children. It didn't start there. We have a great heritage that started back from the beginning of mankind, that you originally from the cradle of civilization. That's why you have your melanin in you. And I've heard some psychologists and others say, Melanin brings about intelligence. Now, I want us to listen and look into these things. And if you need information and things or different things concerning dealing with that, also about asking about researching who's in the Holy Land right now. I'm not going to go too much further on tonight because I understand the fact that my time is running up, and once I begin to talk about the history of the world and the history of blacks, of African, or blacks, or what I would call the black Israelites, black Hebrews, the really Hebrew race, I get overfilled with joy and love because I'm beginning to really understand and research who I am. And where I came from, my origin, I didn't come from a dumb race of people. Come from a loving, intelligent, smart race of people who were builders, educators. And right now our children are going around killing each other, acting like they're crazy, and doing the same thing, 20s and the 30s with Al Capone and the other with the drive-by.
That's what we're doing right now. We're imitating somebody that beat us and enslaved us, taking all their bad habits. And I'm going to leave you with one thing tonight. When the children of Israel left the promised land, and Moses had went up to the mountain and he saw the promised land, and he told them he wouldn't get there with them, but God allowed him to see it. Well, when Joshua and them went over, they told them, and I'm going to tell you about what color, I'm going to prove what color was Joshua to you. I'm going to prove what color was Moses. I'm going to prove what color Joseph was to you. But before I that's going to be another night. But when he showed him that, he told him something very, very important. He told him that when they got into the promised land, don't take the people ways. Don't marry them. Don't take their ways or their customs. They got raped. They worked hard. They weren't lazy people. You lazy now because you don't want to work for free. But we took on all their bad habits. We got into drugs. We got into alcohol. We doing drive-by shooting, something Al Capone them did back in those days. We took every bad habit that they have, not knowing we have a rich heritage in our hearts. We are godly, rich people.
Okay, we really appreciate that, Dr. Kim. That's some good learning and teaching tonight, and we appreciate it. We have I don't know if we have any questions. I'd like to open up the lines and invite anyone that has any questions for Dr. Kim tonight. The line is open.
The line is open now. Go ahead, Dr. Kim. We're opening it up now.
Yes. Anyone have any questions? I'm here to answer any question you may have, whether it's biblical or whether it deals with genetics. I didn't really get into the genetics as much as I would have liked to tonight. We're dealing with Professor Gregoire Mendel. Either just anthropology. I talked about that. I talked about at the beginning. I wanted to lay the foundation that the original man were black, was a black man out of Africa. The original female was a black female out of Africa. They went through a mutation when they left, and the melanin left the skin. And I didn't get into certain other things. But any question that you like that pertaining to you, I would like to try to answer it if possible. So if you have any questions or if you had something that you would like to share with us tonight, you're more than welcome to share with us or ask the question. I'm here to answer the question.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
I have a question.
Praise the Lord. Yes, I kind of had a question. It was just something I had. Yes, sir. How's everybody doing? Yes, sir. I had a quick question.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. I listen to a guy, he go by, I think, Umar Johnson sometimes, I believe, and he talk a lot about, like, marriage, black-on-black marriage. Is that supposed to how the culture supposed to go, or you know, blacks marrying white and stuff like that? Can I get a little more clarity on that? Or, you know, just free to marry any race? Or do, like, black people got to stick with black and white with whites?
Okay. I could answer that for you. Well, if you go back biblically, God had something when he said it, when he told the children of Israel not to marry another group or nationality or race of people. Everybody is just one race, and that's mankind. But we're just different ethnic groups. What the Bible was saying during that time, God didn't want them to intermingle because they were idol worshipers, and he didn't want to, as he was training the Israelites, he wanted them to focus on what he wanted to do. he told them to marry within themselves another Israelite. And it doesn't mean that we are just married blacks or black today. No, that doesn't. I would tell someone, and I'm an African-American, and I just prefer African-American women, ladies. But I wouldn't tell a person if they're in love with a person not to marry that person, because that's not exactly what the Bible says. There's only one kind, one faith, one faith, which one law, one baptism. It's only one kind, is mankind. And if I break it to you now, when you say anthros, you're talking about man. Okay, you're talking about mankind. When God made man, yes, man came out with black, but then when man left out of Africa and 70,000 years ago, what they call out of Africa, they went through what a mutation. And mutation mean a change, just like they have variations of COVID-19. Yeah. It's a variation. If something comes off of that, all it do is this minus something, and something else come out. And that's how different people look different by it could be food, climate, the agriculture in which they live in. If you notice in Alaska, different places at the North Pole, the foxes are white. Polar bears, they blend in the color where they're at. When the people left out of Africa, they were depleted of their melanin, which they got from living around the equator. But I want you to, I didn't break it to say something. I know we want to say just marry black and black because of the Bible is telling Israel only to do that. But if you paid attention to the children of Israel, Moses gave the law, but Moses married an Ethiopian woman, a lady. Okay, Moses married an Ethiopian, Zipporah, was Moses' wife. She was Ethiopian. Moses was a black man himself because Moses, Zipporah told her father, ruled that they found the Egyptian and the 18th dynasty. You find out that the 18th dynasty of Egypt was black, and mainly Egypt was just a black country, a black country that's in Africa, not off the continent of Africa. They've taken like it's not in Africa now. But if you think about it, even in, I think, it's the 28th chapter of Acts, they thought that Paul was an Egyptian that had led to kill, had a slaughter of some, 3,000 people? I think it's 28 and 21. The people were really dark-skinned. All of Joseph, he married a African woman, a Senta. So they were intermarrying, but they intermarried black people. They married black, they were marrying. So biblically they were told not to because of that different religious belief, because God was training, I'm going to say this, I'm going to hurry to it. God was training a group of people to carry his word. He chose Hebrews to carry his word. You heard what I said?
That's good.
He chose them and he trained them. He led them and he gave them the word. Then after he finished teaching them, and Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, came, then he said, now go ye therefore and teach everybody. I gave one group of people my word. You wrote the Biblos, the book, which is, that's what it means, Hebrew Biblos. It means the book, the Bible. And now you take it to all the world. Now, Jesus was to do it, and then the apostles, came and they wrote about Jesus. But Jesus didn't write a book about himself. But it's very important that we understand we need to get off the race thing, because we ought to be happy who we are, because we have a race of people that write everything and say they did everything, and they did not do everything. They did not discover anything. They might have did least among any person other than start war, and that's your Caucasian. They did nothing but war. So
for this.
Wow.
It's not marrying a white girl and you're in love with her, I wouldn't tell you not to marry her. I said I would not because I prefer black ladies, African-American ladies. That's my preference, but if they start treating I, there's nothing wrong with it. I hope I was able to answer the question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Definitely. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
My question is, if you were going to go back and research stuff that you've gone over tonight, okay, is a good place to start?
Where would a good place to start? I would go into anthropology. And when I would go back into anthropology, what I would go back in is some specific things I would ask them. Either I would Google it, and I would Google, like, Don Johansson and Tom Gray's discovery of Lucy, what they did and found in Ethiopia in 1974. Now that's Lucy, and that would be under the, you can look under Australopithecus, Australopithecus, Australopithecus. And it's a fossil of a skeleton that was 3.18 million years old, and they wasn't looking for it, but they stumbled upon it, and his name is Don Johansson and Tom Gray. They discovered a Lucy. And also, the other name is, you look up, they were paleontologists, they found proconsul skull, and it's called Zinzanthropus. Zinzanthropus, Z-I-N-J-A-T-H-R-O-P-U-S, Zinzanthropus. And it talks about this Louis Leakey and Mary Leakey, his wife. They found a robust Zinzanthropus skull in what they call Odiva Gorge in Tanzania. But you have to look up... under anthropology, that'll be Louis Leakey.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you look up and try to find mitochondria, Eve, like the first female in the Bible, mitochondria, mm-hmm. Eve, and they'll tell you that they dug, that they found this fossil that was about 200,000 years ago, and that every human being can trace their mitochondria DNA back to her. They don't say we'll find that every contemporary human since her time carries that DNA. So you can look under those when you go into anthropology. And also, if I was you, I would look up Gregoire Mendel. Okay. And Mendel would give you, and you know, they say he was born 1822 and he died 1884, but he was the father of genetics. And he dealt with the inheritance involving passing on discrete units of inheritance by the genes. And He was the one who taught about in botany and genetics that black and brown is dominant, brown eyes is dominant, and then he say, well, light skin is recessive, and he talks about blue eyes were from a recessive gene, and if you look up the definition of dominant and recessive, it tells you. And as I said that earlier, I was talking about when they were left out of Africa. they went through this mutation, and when they went through the mutation up in Europe, they lost the melanin. Now, we have this thing where we think all blacks have the wide astute noses, but if you ever notice the pictures of the ones in Egypt, whether they're black as tar, if you go to Sudan, where the darkest people on the planet is in certain villages in the Sudan, not all the villages, but some of the village in the Sudan, which is the darkest people in the world, you will find out that most of the people on the east coast of Africa have pointed nose. They do not have pug or astute noses.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody don't have the big lips in Africa either. Now, if you look on the pyramids and the different things of the statue, you know who they are by the shape of their mouths, some of them nose. And it's weird that, and so it's so weird when you study it, why are the statue noses missing? Why they took the nose off the statues and the sphinx and all these others? Why are these things missing? We don't ask. And I want to say this to you, brother. I know this is this brother Eugene Daniel. God bless you. It's the Pope that made okay slavery. Okay. He followed up, his name was Pope Nicholas the Sixth. During King James time, he okayed. He was the one to write this letter and said that slavery was okay. It's so much that what we're going through today is still what you would call racism, and why whites still portray. I was doing some study, and it hurt me to see that whites still, although they know in the pyramids, they could show you in every museum, you could see that the people in the pyramids were black, other than the one that the paint peeled off and they're the whitewashed. So people were black, but every time it's act, they're white. This is like Egypt is white. Different cultures are white. Anybody discovered anything is white, and it's not true. But if I was you, I would go into genetics. Could it tell you about whites? You want to know why the people are different colors? It'll tell you that whites are mutation. And I would call whites myself, I know they wouldn't care for me to say it, but I would call them albino, because if you have a white alligator, it's albino, a white tiger, it's albino, a white lion, a white catfish, everything that's like that, they call it albino. But and that's like a melon, but they are not albino. But they know that they're a mutation, and they're geneticists are saying, but they don't really put it to the students, and that's what they need to do. I hope I answered your question.
You did. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. God bless. Any other questions? Anyone have any questions? I tried to touch on some things per se dealing with the Garden of Eden. And you can look it up yourself that the Gihon and the Pishon River are in Africa. But I would like to just make the suggestion that if you study it, and now the Euphrates is there, but the landmass that would join until after the Great Deluge, after Noah's time when the flood came, then it was a separation of the land. But if you're going to have lion, tigers, giraffes, rhinoceros, and all hippos and all these things, animals, they cannot be in just a small area like a rock. They would have to be spread. And if you pay close attention, even to this very day, and from thousands and thousands of years, the lion, the tigers, the hippo, the rhino, the cheetahs, and all these animals always been in Africa, not over in a rock. So it was a large area, and it was in Africa. And wherever you find a hot climate, the people are dark-skinned. And it's weird that people would even believe that the people that live in the Holy Land today are from there, when everybody else in there are dark-skinned. Those who, if you ever have a friend
have a grandson, son, or friend. I know somebody that African American that fought in the war over in Iraq or Afghanistan. The white guys, the white soldiers, call them sand, S-A-N-D, sand N-word, because they're dark. Well, how can you be the only one that come from somewhere and you're the only one that look the way you look? And I haven't gotten into the name of the people that's settling over there, because when I give you the names, you'll find out they're not from originally. They're not from the Holy Land. That they're from Russia. They're from north of Turkey, and they're from Portugal. Those are the people that sell over there. I could call the name. The Eskenaz, the Khazars, and the Sofidim. Those are the Portuguese. The Khazars are from north of Turkey, around the Baltic. And then you have the ones that's from right around Russia, your Eskenaz from Russia, Lithuania, and Khazar, and Caucasian, yeah. So it's a lot. It's things that we could study. And the books that I give my information are whites wrote the books, but they're not going to tell you. That's the key to it. They figure you're not gonna you're not gonna research it, or you're not gonna look it up. So when they make their movie, they make everybody white. You would just fall for it. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody have any other questions? The only dumb question is one not asked. And if I know it, I'll try my best to answer it.
That's it, Pastor. Well, that wraps up everybody, Pastor. They hanging on. I guess no one else has questions, sir.
Okay, well, God bless all those who are hanging on and didn't ask questions. I know we have some that ask different questions sometime. I guess you didn't have a question to ask tonight. Well, again, I pray that God bless you. I pray that it was something I said within this program that made you learn more about yourself, about the Bible. And I pray that we learn to love. The main important thing is to love everyone. But to learn of yourself, and it's important that we as a nationality of people who have a lot of low self-esteem learn about ourselves, that we play an integral part in life, in the Bible, and in life in general. And I thank everyone. God bless you. Let us pray. I want to take us out with a prayer. Before I go into prayer, I want to find out from Reverend William, our host, Reverend William, do you have a Black History tip, or do you have anything, a health tip you'd like to give?
No Black History tip tonight, Pastor. You gave our history for the night. Just want to encourage everyone to make sure you get your exercises in every morning and stretching. Take your medicine if you're on it. But let's take better care of ourselves, putting proper foods in our body, drinking 64 ounces of water a day, and just take better care of yourself. We'll see you back here tomorrow evening, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, Breaking Chains. That'll do it for me, Pastor.
Yes, I would like to, as I pray, I just want to ask you guys to pray for my brother. I have a brother that's on life support. He's on a ventilator, and I'd like you to pray for me and pray for my family, pray for my brother and his kids. Yes. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Father, we come asking, Lord, that you will forgive us if we're sinned by omission or commission. Now, Lord, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you would lead us and strengthen us, Lord. And we ask that you, I ask a special prayer for my brother and his family. I ask a special prayer for all those who are suffering. For those who are in the hospital, I just ask, Lord, you give a special blessing on them, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that as we do this program, we pray that no one would take this as being biased or racist against any other race, but the truth has to be told because so many things have been headed from the African Americans or the African race negative things have been said. I was talking, Lord, with a friend of mine, and he made a powerful statement, and he spoke tonight, Lord, that if you take a person, Lord, from one country and they can't speak the language, they seem to be dumb because they don't know what you're saying. And that's all happened when African American first came to America. They didn't speak the language. They were not dumb. They just didn't understand what was being said. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Now, I pray that I said something to help someone. I pray that I said something to show love, compassion. But most of all, I'm trying to give a history of where the African come from, where this world started off, and give something about anthropology and genetics and just about life in biblical times, too. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless our leaders, our president, and all those, bless those family, those 10 families who lost loved ones in the senseless killings and all the killings before, Lord. We have to do something about gun control. Now, Lord, I ask a blessing for our local government, our state government, and our national government. We ask a blessing for Christians all over this world. Lord, we pray for love and peace all over the world. Oh, we thank you, Lord. A special blessing for our men, for Reverend William, for the program that he brings forth. And as we reach out to the radio, to everyone we possibly can, we pray more would tune in. And those who tune in would have questions they would like to ask and learn. Oh, we thank you. We praise you. We praise you in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus and for his sake. And all God's children said, amen, amen, amen. I love everybody, black, white, rich, or poor. I love everybody. There's nothing you could do about it. Good night.
Amen. God bless you. Good night. Good night, everybody. We love you. Enjoy the tunes.
We thank you for taking a listen this evening. You've been listening to History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp right here on Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Heard every Tuesday right here at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. YAT Radio logs on to leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence, teaching you about who you are and whose you are. It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday on YAT Radio, where we are breaking chains. Being sponsored by the United Theological Seminary and Bible College. Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.